Yes, 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 yes. You tuned into another episode of the Cast Offs podcast. It's your boy Biz. We're here with a couple of good people here. Who's got their phones on? Is that me? Put that in there. I'm here telling everyone to switch their phone over, put it on vibrate, that I'm the first culprit. That's great, isn't it?
Be my sample.
Season 2, new episode. Big up Frankie, the mascot, just chilling, trying to figure out how to be a videographer as well. First eye production, Hannah, we got Hannah in the place. We got a special guest today. We already got Kelly. Kelly, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
We got a very special guest today, and she is Dr. Tanya Bright from the Bright Centre.
Hello.
You all right?
Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm there in it. Yeah. one of the things we wanted to do with Series 2 was to add a couple of things to do with improving the body and mind. We've done a couple of episodes with bar workouts, Pilates workout, and I just thought we'd be nice to add, call it mental workout, so to speak. So I thought probably be the best person to speak to that I know, and that can come and give us a good angle, or explain to us in layman's terms what is good for the mind, what is good for the body, from an inside perspective instead of the physical side with obviously the bar, Pilates and yoga workouts. Do you want to tell us a bit about the Bright Centre and what you do, Dr. T?
Yeah, sure. So basically the Bright Centre, the name itself is actually my surname, so Bright being my surname, but it's very much about having a bright center on the inside. Mm-hmm. So it's all about making sure you're happy, healthy within, mm-hmm. to be able to really shine on the outside.
Okay.
So that's a little bit behind the name. What I do is, it sounds very cheesy and I totally embrace it, but I'm just trying to help as many people in the world as possible.
Okay.
There's so much going on, especially with obviously coming out of COVID and just general everyday stresses and struggles and trying to juggle so much every day that everyone does. That it's really important to have that mental resilience.
All right.
And so many people just don't know how to do that, how to achieve that. And yeah, like you said, it's very much about actually, you know, people go to the gym to achieve physical health. We need to be proactive with the mind, just yeah. like very much having a gym membership, but for the mind.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think it's the mental health and people's mental health state, it's huge now. It's back, obviously. Back in our parents' days, it wasn't a bigger deal, which it should have been then. But obviously, with technology and with more knowledge that we've gained from it, it's more of a bigger deal now, and rightfully so.
Exactly.
It's one of those things that people kind of fob off, especially men. Most people, but I'll say men because I'm a dude, I can see it. Where do you think you can come? How can you get into that space to make people realize, and this is across both sexes, that they can't ignore their mental state. People have the varying levels of the mental health within them, but it can be ignored. It can always be improved on, even if you think that at the moment you are good, you know, within a good space, but it's, yeah, that's fine, but it still can be improved on.
Yeah, definitely. And I think actually, when you're in a good headspace, it's mm-hmm. actually the best time to do the work.
Yeah.
Because you're being proactive again. And that's what I'm really sort of trying to teach and get out mm-hmm. there, is it's so important to be proactive, not just wait till you're super stressed or you're struggling with anxiety or struggling with depression or
yeah.
some other mental struggle to do something about it.
Yeah.
Because if you're here and you get hit with something, you're only going to dip a little bit. If you're already down here and you get hit with something, that obviously you're so low already that
yeah.
it's so much harder to come back up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like you said about, you know, our, like the generations sort of now versus sort of our parents, grandparents' generations, where mental health was not a thing, not spoken about. And that stigma is still there
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah.
But it is getting much better, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It helps me because even when I came into the field, which was about 10 years ago now, there was still such a huge stigma. Like, even within my own family, like,
yeah.
mental health, like,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, it's
looking at me funny.
That's true, because, like, it's like normally, oh, come on, man up, man. It's like,
exactly.
get on with it. It's
yeah, yeah, yeah.
stiff upper lip, you know, just get on, yeah.
Yeah, so especially, like, on the, to do with men, especially, that whole man up.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot very recently about, you know, stop saying that, basically.
Mm-hmm. Oh, should say woman up? Gender
yeah.
neutral up?
Yeah, exactly. Non-binary up. But exactly that. It's actually about trying to discover, you know, what is actually going on. Mm-hmm. And there was that, I can't remember exactly who it was now, but there was a campaign that said to make sure you ask someone if they're okay twice.
Yeah.
You know, because especially Brits, you know, we like to be all polite and, you know, are you okay? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, not too bad. So it's just making sure you ask somebody twice, because mm-hmm. the second time they might just go, actually, boom.
Yeah.
And then they'll offload and then that wall sort of comes down.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned that you've been doing this for 10 years now. So obviously, I was going through the qualifications and stuff. Because there's a thing, especially in the social media age now, where everyone wants to be a life coach. Everyone's saying they can do this, do this. I can empower you, yada, 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 yada. And I'm going to be honest with you. Probably more than half of it, I just look at it and think, oh. Yeah. And not because I'm trying to diminish what they're trying to do. It's more like, are you just using life experience to tell me and tell others what they need to do with their life, or how serious are you about what you're trying to do? What qualifications have you got? It's why are you telling me what to do? What have you got in it? And I it's kind of impressive when I look at the qualifications here. Master's in science at King's College in London, in psychology, psychiatry, and neuroscience of mental health. Neuro-linguistic programming, master practitioner, mental health first aider, sports massage therapist, tutor, medical acupuncture therapist, facial enhancement acupuncture therapist. I'm guessing that all it's like, obviously, they're all linked, but what I take from that is you've taken this seriously and you've actually gone, nothing wrong with people telling us what to do based on their own life experience, but you've actually gone and put in the time and work to make sure that if this is the angle you're going or the lane you're going with, you've done it properly. And I mean, why did you think that was a good thing to do, or an important part of what you were trying to do to add to your arsenal, to going to get this? I mean, King's College London, you don't even live in London, so it shows effort. It shows that you were determined to get it right. Why did you think it was important to get those qualifications in place?
My mindset was actually exactly the same mm-hmm. as yours, in that I had already known what I wanted to achieve and what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I could see so many people on social media, you know, this coach, life coach, mind coach, mindset coach, mm-hmm. whatever coach they were calling themselves, but they didn't have high qualifications. Mm-hmm. And so aside from actually doing the work, putting in the time, investing, and getting that qualification, you know, the knowledge, the qualification, then straight away sets me aside from majority.
Yeah.
So, yeah, obviously it was an intense master's. I did it, mm-hmm. did the work. And I definitely think, you know, now I can, 100% can help much more people. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, on social media, it's actually quite counterintuitive. Because a lot of the, you know, hashtag just be positive,
yeah.
hashtag, you know, positive vibes, mm-hmm. hashtag whatever. Actually, it's not about being hashtag positive all day, every day. Like, mm-hmm. that's not real life.
Yeah.
But it's about having the tools to know that, okay, cool, like, if I'm not having a great day, like, actually, hashtag positive or hashtag be happy is not the right, like, method.
Yeah, yeah.
And I not to put that down, because... Mm-hmm. It's brilliant that so many people are out there trying to help and mm-hmm. trying to improve mm-hmm. mindset. So absolutely not taking away from all those people. But that isn't the most useful
okay.
for a lot of people on a daily basis.
Why is that?
Because sometimes, especially if you're in a really bad place, whether it's depression or stress, maybe just daily stress, mm-hmm. and actually you've got someone just going, oh, just be just be positive, just mm-hmm. be happy, and you think, I actually just want to throw my phone out mm-hmm. the window.
Yeah.
When I
can I be angry
that.
For a few minutes, yeah, yeah.
You know, so actually it's more, you know, actually I give out tips, really simple tips to put in place to manage when you're feeling stressed, to not hashtag just be happy mm-hmm. and smiley, mm-hmm. but actually I give you a very simple tool for how to manage your thoughts to then quickly be able to be in a better mindset.
Oh, that's great. So how long did it take to get your master's in science in psychology and psychiatry. I'm guessing that all that was linked as one course, or you had to go back?
It's just a very long title, sorry.
PPNMH. How long did that take to do?
It was just over 2 years.
And I mean, are they the best colleges to get that, or you just picked that because it suited what your needs were?
Yeah, well, King's College London actually is one of the, it's got an international research centre. Mm-hmm. So they have the latest knowledge in mental health and neuroscience. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the best unis in the world. I think when I did my master's, it was, not showing off, but it was like in the top like 30 of the world.
Wow, okay.
And the course was just exactly what I wanted to do, amazingly interesting, and King's College has a fantastic reputation.
Okay. And the other bits here, I'm going to come back to that. So I'm trying to get you the mental health first aider, sports massage therapist, and a sports massage therapist tutor as well. Was that linked, or did you have that in place already? And you just thought, I'll get this other side in it to get everything all, just connect the dots to make it all linked as one.
Yeah, so I'm super holistic. So it's all about having a healthy mind and a healthy body. Because as much as for a long time people have sort of either focused on one or the other, they are hugely connected, the mind-body connection. So if you're feeling a pain physically in your body, mentally, and I'm sure you guys can remember a time when you've like had a bad back or something. And then it just makes you feel mad, upset, angry, whatever. But
it's, it is linked,
linked. So,
is it one in three people with long-term health conditions? They actually suffer from a mental illness.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm
of some sort, basically. Yeah,
because I just shared with you before, I'm studying for a mental health first aid course myself, and I learned that within it.
That's insane.
Yeah,
I was, but that really correlates to what you said.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And then
I've got a bad back too.
She's
so you out, isn't it?
Yeah, some days you're just a bit like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. And then also, I'm sure you've thought, you know, had this, what this happened to you as well. Like, if you're not feeling very good up mentally, you might get neck ache, back ache, stomach ache as well. So it actually then comes into a physical symptom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's that's where for me they connect. But I actually, because I was in the fitness industry, that was a long time back now. But my thought process then was, okay, well, if people get injured, then I can help them. So I can get my massage and acupuncture qualifications, and then I learned more about the connection with the mind body and. Yeah, it's just amazing. So everything I do has just sort of come full circle.
Okay, so it's like, if you look back at the mental health side of it as well, why do you think it's very important for people to be aware of where they are within themselves, mental health-wise? Why is it important for them in terms, because I'll give you an example. See, I look at myself and think, okay, I'm all right. But like I said earlier as well, it's not being all right, it's just keeping on top of it. So how is that important for in our day-to-day life?
Well, I think, firstly, a lot of people don't even ask themselves that question.
Mm-hmm.
And really and truly, you should check in. Okay. Like, how am I doing? Am I doing okay?
Yeah.
But most people actually don't ever take that time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing, that everyone watching, start doing that.
Or listening.
Checking in with yourself every day. But in terms of just, you know, what you do for a living, just how you spend your day, it's all about, are you confident in what you're doing? Are you struggling in anything that you're doing?
Yeah.
You know, it's knowing, firstly, who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Being confident in what you bring.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to do so much better in life if you keep checking in with yourself to make sure, you know, okay, maybe why did I react that way? You know? Oh, that's not usually me. Why did I react that way? There's maybe something more to that.
Yeah.
It's about respect too, isn't it? So check yourself, respect yourself.
Is that to do with daily affirmations? I hear this thing about daily affirmations where people get up in the morning and the first thing they do, it's like look in the mirror or whatever, or it's like gearing themselves up before they start their day. Is that kind of linked? Is that what daily affirmations are called?
Well,
or is that something different?
Daily affirmations are nice because it's a nice way. For example, if you generally are a cup half full person, that's a really nice way to start switching the mindset.
Okay.
So, to change your train of thought.
Yeah.
I start my morning with meditation. I don't really do affirmations, but sometimes I do. But mine's more like I practice gratitude in the morning. Mm-hmm. And it just starts your mind, rather than thinking, oh, God, I got to do this today. Yeah. And yeah. I've got 500 things to achieve. I make sure I start my day with total peace and mental clarity.
Okay.
So the
same here.
So are you a daily affirmations
breathing
person?
Yeah, breathing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You say thank you for giving me everything. I really need to focus on this. Can you help me focus on this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you imagine yourself already having that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I wanted to help the homeless. So I pictured myself with all this money giving it out.
Yeah.
But actually, it transpires into toiletries.
So with the breathing exercises, do you have a set? Is it a set time?
I've got a note here. I can share it with you after if you're interested. It's just one that I do for myself.
So that's the breathing exercise you do.
Yeah, and how long? With your tummy, not with your chest. So you have to. Like,
and how long?
Your tummy,
yeah.
Yeah.
And how long do you do your breathing exercise? Like, how long does that take? Is it a 5 minute
five
thing?
Minutes.
Or
two? Yeah. Maybe longer if you want to.
Yeah.
But sometimes you really start enjoying it, because once you are able to sort of block out any other thoughts trying to come in, mm-hmm. you start seeing colours.
All right.
And it's almost like a lava lamp.
Okay.
So I always see purple,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes I have some green coming in, and okay. some gold and white.
Oh,
and
those colors that you see, they're just different emotions. Are they linked to emotions?
They're linked to your chakras.
Yeah, chakras. So it's all that energy. Oh, wow. That could be a whole other podcast.
Oh, let's talk about it, please.
You can charge them. They're like batteries.
Yeah, they're energy centers, are your chakras.
Is it?
Anyone that knows about acupuncture, Reiki, if anyone is spiritual at all,
mm-hmm.
they'll know about chakras. You have 8 chakras. Well, you have actually lots, but you have 8 main chakras,
mm-hmm.
and they're your energy centers. So they all represent a different part of the body.
Okay. So why do you think, I mean, we're going to come to the corporate side of obviously life coaching and obviously mental health in a minute, but why do you think, I still want to stick with the individual side. Why do you think we need to be on top of our mental health and mental mind state as an individual?
The mind is the powerhouse.
Yeah.
So your mind powers absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm.
And not to take away from all the personal trainers out there who say everything is, you know, you have to have a healthy body. You absolutely do. But your brain has the power to shut down your body.
Yeah.
So if your mind isn't healthy, isn't mm-hmm. okay, you can literally get cancer. You can get migraines. You know, I mean, everything. So the mind has to be healthy,
yeah.
and so it's so much deeper than just, you know, sort of surface level
mm-hmm.
mental health.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually your whole life, your whole world, and your whole life experience.
Yeah.
So, does that answer the question?
Yeah, it does. It does. So it's again. I'm trying to play devil's advocate here.
Yeah,
so is it more important to concentrate on the mind in terms of that? Then concentrate on the body. So in terms of, you know, when I say the body, it's people trying to aim to get to the physical peak, fit and all that,
yeah,
get the cardio going, blah, blah, blah. Do you think that from your point of view, it's more important to concentrate on the mind first, or they both go hand in hand with each other?
Both can go hand in hand. And I guess because I've got a huge experience in the fitness industry,
mm-hmm.
And this is where actually I went into the fitness industry and I thought, right, this is how I can change the world. This is how I can make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I can really help.
Yeah.
And that's when I actually learned that it was people's minds that held them back.
Mm-hmm.
So really they can be tackled together, but the mind is more important because you need to be ready. So let's say you're on your fitness journey.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be mentally ready to be motivated, to be committed, to do the physical
mm-hmm.
journey.
Mm-hmm.
So the mind in that instance definitely has to come first.
Okay.
And also another example is body dysmorphia.
Okay.
So let's say somebody loses a lot of weight and they've gone from being, you know, 18 stone to 10 stone and really lost huge amounts of weight. If they haven't worked their mind at the same time to come in line from being the person they were to the person they are now,
yeah.
that's what can cause body dysmorphia. So they're looking in the mirror, still seeing the person they were
yeah.
before their journey because they haven't brought it in line. So I always say that personal trainers should also be mental health trained
yeah.
or some kind of mental coaching
yeah.
so that they can do that, because otherwise then we get eating disorder potentially or body
yeah.
dysmorphia
yeah.
and
yeah.
other
mm-hmm.
issues like that, where the mind isn't in line with the body.
I mean, you said something about motivation, and I was going to touch on that as well. How can people... Because one of the things people always say is being self-motivated. It's sometimes people rely on others to try and motivate them on a daily basis, for example. How can people learn the art of self-motivation? Especially, depression is a big thing now, people being down, cost of living going up, which doesn't help. What tips can you give or suggest to people to just keep on going and to motivate themselves on a daily basis, if, especially when they get up in the morning? It's like, if they went to bed down, yeah. But it's a brand new day now. Let's just start with a positive attitude. How can people get that? What tips can you give them to get? Because sometimes you might not be around people to self-motivate you, but so how can you self-motivate yourself?
So I would always say, remember your why.
Mm-hmm.
Remember your purpose. So not just to think, right, I need to go to the gym because I've been told to go to the gym.
Yeah.
It's, why am I going? Why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. And hopefully that reason should be strong enough to motivate to do the action. Mm-hmm. And then the motivation usually comes on the back, or comes off the back of doing the action.
Mm-hmm.
So motivation isn't always there, but at least if you sort of really tap into the why, and if that why does not get you out of bed to do X, Y, Z, mm-hmm. it's not strong enough.
Okay.
It's not your why.
It's not your why.
It's not your why.
It's not, yeah.
So but how can
why,
you...
But it's not your why.
Yeah, so, it's your Z.
So how can an individual identify their why for them to tap into?
It depends what it is.
Yeah.
So if it's, I don't know, give me an example so I could.
God, you got me there now. why? It's just knowing that, okay, if they're supposed to do something, it's knowing, identify what they're here for in the first place and holding on to that to obviously push them forward.
Right.
So it's like, because it's easy just to let go.
Yeah.
So how can they just identify their why and hold them onto that?
Some people give you your why mm-hmm. when you're growing up.
Yeah.
A parent or a friend or, someone in education. Mm-hmm. Like, you can be given a why, which you start believing, mm-hmm. but actually that's not your true why.
I was going to say that because their why might be different to their definitely. Why. So how can somebody identify their own why and hold that and then obviously take that forward?
So I guess when it comes to, we move away from like fitness and that kind of thing,
yeah.
but when it comes to just like general life,
mm-hmm.
You need to identify who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. And that's all about, again, like I said before, like checking in with yourself. But most people, if I ask them the question, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
They can't answer it. So...
Well, what makes you happy as well? Yeah, that's
what makes you happy?
Yeah.
That's your why.
Exactly. So it's finding your...
What lights you up?
Exactly, what lights you up? So as a person, to identify who you are is all about looking at your morals, your beliefs, what makes you happy, what are you passionate about? And then sometimes, you don't want to get up and do, even if you love what you do, mm-hmm. for example, you still might have that day,
mm-hmm.
but then it's changing the words that you use, which is then comes into our whole like thoughts, changes our behaviors and mm-hmm. actions. Mm-hmm. So for example, it's a silly example, but if I really don't want to clean the house and I'm like, do I have to?
Yeah.
It's actually like, okay, I get to do this. A lot of people, one, maybe don't have a house, don't have the ability. And I'm like, okay, I get to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to do this.
Yeah.
That still might not work sometimes, but it's actually just thinking about things slightly differently. And like, you know, I went to my nephew's football game yesterday. It was freezing. I really don't want to go and be in the cold. And then I was like, actually, I get to see my nephew happy. Mm-hmm. I get to see him play. I don't often get, and it's just changing how you view it. And mm-hmm. that starts with your words, your thoughts. It changes your actions.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you your why in a minute, Kelly. So just start thinking about that. So let's say someone's why. Right, is, again, I'm trying to play devil's advocate here. So someone thinks their why is eating. Now, obviously, too much of anything is just not good. So that's my why, that's my purpose, is just to eat. And to eat and to eat and to eat, and what happens after that. How can you tell someone or the teacher, say, your why, you might think your why is actually eating, but it might not necessarily be a good thing in the long run because obviously too much food, it can lead to other things. I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Eating is an action, not a reason.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's good because some people might just, oh, why? My why is eating. So it's not telling that it's not a why. It's an action. You have to eat to live.
Exactly. Okay. So then I would say that that's not a valid why. That's not an actual why.
I like that. I like that. And Kelly.
Eating might make you happy.
Although it might make you happy, at which point I would say, hey, what are you eating?
I know.
And
so
make sure
chocolate makes you happy when you eat it.
So Kelly, what is your why?
Well, mine is basically, I thought about this for a while, and I'm lucky enough to have actually gone on a workshop where I was taught this, mm-hmm. you know, early on. So, and even at university, they made us do it as an exercise. So it had me on a blank sheet of paper, mm-hmm. a little bubble with me, and it was a spider diagram. So I had to draw all of the things that I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Because I'm quite multifaceted as a person. I enjoy lots of different things, sometimes surprise people, yeah. actually. Because they might sort of take one look at you and think that you're not sporty or you're not this or, you know, I do wakeboarding. Well, I'd have to try anything once.
Yeah.
Oops is always better than what is. That's what I say.
I like that. That's
yeah. Coming back from my snowboarding mm-hmm. trip in December with a bad coccyx right now. Ooh. But ooh. There we go. I have to lay a certain way.
Oh, no. Is that why you're slanting a bit?
Yeah. I was hoping it would go away, but it hasn't. So I'm thinking, I'm going to have to go for an MRI.
So... I will feel your coccyx for you, yes.
Should I be here?
You're not allowed to see.
Yeah. So what is your why then? What is your why? Or does your why change and depend on your mood? Or do you have like a standard why? So what is your why? What is your purpose? What do you think your purpose is?
So I think it directly correlates to your values mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
So I worked out what mine are, and I mean essentially it's what I do.
Okay.
As a job,
yeah.
we do ethical.
Yeah.
So helping people, planet, and animals.
And that's your why.
That's what makes me happy.
Let's give you another applause for that.
And it's taken me 3 years to work out which way and how, and not to give too much to one, and then obviously try and learn tools. So I give them the tools to help themselves.
Yeah.
And things like this. Brilliant.
And Hannah, what's your why? Still figuring your why out.
She's going to have to do the spider diagram.
Okay, all right. Exactly. Alice is trying to figure her why out.
And beliefs.
Yeah, who are you?
Yeah. Well, I think it's just like about variety and experiencing as much as you can. You know, diversity.
To work that out.
Looking at different cultures and all sorts.
But that's external, not internal.
I can do that. I can't do the
internal. There you go.
All right, cool. Yeah. And Dr. T, what is your why?
My why is to help as many people in the world as possible and just try and have a positive impact.
That's brilliant. Okay, so we talk...
You make your why your work.
Exactly.
And then you're happy forever.
Yeah. My why is to be happy. That's it.
That's your work.
Okay, we're going to talk about the book and the reason why you wanted to write a book. Well, I'm going to go through a couple of things on your website. So for people listening, and it's thebrightcenter.com. Thebrightcenter.com. It's nice and easy. A couple of things that when I was doing my research on this that stood out that I didn't even know. And I thought, wow, okay, I'm going to bring this up. Is we're now going to the workplace now. Here's any given time, 1 in 6 working age adults have symptoms associated with mental health. 792 million people, that's give or take a tenth, isn't it, of the world population, give or take, are affected by mental health issues worldwide. So let's now go with this work-related thing, working age adults, 1 in 6. Talk to me about that.
So from my experience, it's really, really important for employers to support employees.
100%.
You know, most people are at work, whether it's at home now, you mm-hmm. know, remote or hybrid or whatever it looks like, but they work most of the week.
Yeah.
And
people's got to get paid.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely.
Some people do 2-3 jobs.
Absolutely, it's true.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so important for employers. It's so easy for employers to support their employees' mental health, mm-hmm. but so many don't. People really, really struggle to be able to achieve working to their full capacity, mm-hmm. and you know their confidence gets knocked. It really, really impacts them in the workplace so much, and it really, like I said, it's easy for employers to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't cost a lot,
mm-hmm.
and it's a huge percentage now. 84% of people, when they're looking now at employers, look to see if the employer is supporting mental health in the workplace.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's not doing like one course a year. Mm-hmm. It's actually, you know, it needs to be monthly. It needs to be weekly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be one-to-one coaching. It could be, you know, just having a, oh, take a day to stay at home, mm-hmm. or to whatever it is, you know, go to the spa. Just, mm-hmm. just, it can look really different, but it's so important. And
it's also good for team building too, having wellness days away.
Yeah, yeah.
Do activities, yeah. And spend that quality time with, you know, colleagues that you normally, you're so busy with the tasks. Mm-hmm.
You don't get to know.
Yeah, on a lunch break, maybe get a, like, 10-minute chat, like, in between eating.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because
I think,
yes.
Things with employers now, and I'm going to obviously ask the question about how is this growing within, obviously, a working capacity. What employers will tend to do is, oh, we give them Christmas party and summer party. That's enough for them, which is necessarily not the right thing.
Well, and also,
it's
so many
let off steam.
On the flip side, so many people have social anxiety.
Yeah,
and since
exactly.
COVID, agoraphobia, which means they're scared of leaving the house.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, that is awful.
Yeah, well, I mean, Christmas parties are great, summer parties are great, but it's not enough.
Really not enough.
I mean, in your opinion, should it be like a, I mean, this should it be tailored to the individual employee, number one, and number two, as a group thing, because you mentioned about, obviously, wellness day, should it be more often than just a Christmas party, which is once a year, or a summer party? And not all companies do summer parties. Most companies, when you're lucky enough, you get a Christmas party, that's it.
There's a couple of things, like simple things, like having a health and safety program implemented into the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
That improves well-being and mental health for staff, because they know that there's structure there.
Mm-hmm. And that there's care.
Yeah, exactly. Just really small things like that can make a big difference for people. And even just being heard, because when you're in a team and your voice isn't heard and you're trying to communicate the problem, it's reoccurring, but no one's listening.
Yeah.
That can cause mental
because
health
problems. we've all been employees, or still some of us still are, or some of them been ex-employees at some point. But we've all gone through that situation where we get up in the morning and we don't want to go to work. Now, from an employer's point of view, they would say, "Oh, busy didn't come to work three times this week. He's just literally a skiver." But sometimes it can actually be deeper than that. Again, kind of linked to mental health.
Yeah,
it's like, because you might generally get up in the morning wanting to go to work and just thought, nah, and just call into your little excuse you want to give something, I don't know, I've just, the roof's just fallen off or something. But, you can laugh at it, but it's like, then you start thinking, what lie have I given them? I haven't used it. We can joke about it, but sometimes it is also linked to that, because being people physically can't just get themselves out of the front door to go to work. So that is, I think we need to maybe expand on that, but more, because it's, we can just easily say, oh, like, as an employer, you can look, oh, yeah, it's just literally a skiver, I just want to go to work. Half the time it might be, but I think the other half, and this might be just me looking at from outside looking, I think the other half might just be linked to mental health. So it's like, what do we need to make employers understand that it might not necessarily just be someone that's not wanting to work, or just a skiver, or, because then the first thing you think, oh, but they went out last night, didn't they? It might not necessarily be that, because everyone's got their own little demons that they're fighting inside. So how can we make employers understand and maybe give them tips to identify? Because if busy is always calling, he's called four times in the last 2 weeks and done a sickie, let's try and as an employer, let me try and find out what is really wrong with busy. It might not necessarily be he just wants to sky because he went out last night and just blew off till 7 o'clock in the morning. How can an employer identify that?
I think firstly, your line managers, management need to be first aid, like mental health, first aid trained, sorry. So they, if for example, the employee does not feel like they're able to speak up, that actually the manager can identify it.
Because
a lot of people will feel still very scared to speak up about it. So they will just pull a sickie, and not say. So it's really, really important that either the employee does speak up and is open about it, but actually it really is, the responsibility falls on the management.
Yeah.
So that they can identify it and really, really help.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what people should do, what employers should do is, for example, if it is an office, you're supposed to be based in the office, but actually, if you can't for whatever, but you're happy to work from home, that they have that as a very easy option to say, okay, feeling really anxious today, for example, not feeling very, you know, good or able to come in, am I okay to work from home? It should then just be like, yes. Can you fulfill everything you need to? Brilliant.
Okay.
You know, and just be flexible.
Is there anything
flexible
that we can do to support you working at home? Do you need extra?
Yeah.
You
know, it's trying to basically not just fob them up and think, oh, it's just another Skyver. Yeah. And that's it. So it's, again, I just personally think, I think the from an individual side, we are trying to get there, but I just think corporate needs to do more.
And I think the mindset, they need to see their employees as investments.
Yeah,
they are
because I was
training them for this role. If you're going to have a first turnover of staff, how many times do you need to keep retraining people?
Exactly, because, and it's going to lead me again to this on the site. I'm going to plug it again, thebrightcenter.com. Because obviously employers is all about the money. It's all about the money, isn't it? You just said it in investment.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read this out again just in case people they know, especially employers, I'm looking at you. Mental health is responsible for 72 million working days lost a year. I'm going to say that again. Mental ill health is responsible for 72 million working days lost a year. That's approximately £34.9 billion lost each year.
Yes,
and
please.
That is from MHFA England. I forgot about that. Mental health.
First data.
That's the one. So it's not, I didn't say it, she didn't say it, that's fact.
It's gonna be one
exclusive color. So again, because obviously employers just want to know about the money side of it. So that's how much you lose. So I think it's important to see what each individual employee you have is going through and speak to them. Another thing here is, for since it's money they understand, is for every £1 put into scaled up treatment for common mental disorders, there is a return of £4.
That's it.
That is profit.
It's profit, and it's not only a competitive advantage monetarily, but it does in being an employer of choice.
Exactly.
So people want to work for you because they see it as, oh, I'm not just a number, I'm not just your worker, but actually you care about me, you care about my mental health.
Exactly. Which in turn means the best staff available on the world.
Bingo.
but the best version of that staff.
Which will in turn, employers hear this, which will in turn improve health and productivity in the workplace. And that's from the World Health Organization, not from her or her or me or Frankie or Hannah.
Exactly.
That's facts.
We didn't make it up.
Yep. So you want to talk about money? That's it. So basically make sure mental health is an important thing for you at your company. This is employers I'm talking to. And I'm going to read another thing here as well, is people with a long-term mental health condition lose their jobs every year around double the rate of those without a mental health condition. And that's from MHFA England. You want to expand on that?
Yeah, so that is probably going back to the people that are scared to speak up or, you know, or say, I actually have clinical anxiety or whatever it might be. So they just get sacked. So it's really, really important that actually whoever is suffering, if you are struggling with any kind of mental health issue, is to actually try and get some help and support about it. You know, and if you do get any kind of diagnosis, this is only going to help you, because then you can go to your manager and say, I do have this, look, because unfortunately, on the flip side of mental health becoming more spoken about and more open and accepted, a lot of people are using it. So a lot of people now, in fact, are actually saying, oh, I can't come in today, I have got anxiety, but they don't. And so that is an unfortunate...
I know, it's humans, isn't it? It can give us an inch, we go a mile.
Exactly.
To the piss. Then,
yeah,
then next thing, it's like the when it's like the whole crying wolf thing. Yeah. So when somebody actually does say and really does suffer from anxiety, because you've just heard it from five different staff in the last week, it's just a rolling your eyes, oh, yeah, it's another one again.
That's it. And so that's why I really, really suggest actually getting, you know, whether it's a doctor or someone like myself, who's a private practitioner, you know, get them to actually write that for you.
Yeah.
You know, get it written on a piece of paper that you do genuinely have some kind of struggle, some kind of challenge. Give it to your manager, give it to your employer, so that they can support you.
Fantastic.
It's only a good thing.